You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers, who have survived the All-Star break, which I didn't survive. I slept terribly this whole time. I was out of rhythm with no basketball. It was awful. But they play today at 10:30 p.m. against the Los Angeles Lakers. And I'm really excited to get back into watching Pacers basketball. As always, my name is Tony East. I cover the team for the Westside Community News and Forbes.com. Joining me today to talk Pacers-Lakers, preview the action at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time for those of you who are young and can stay up and watch it. Harrison Fagan, the editor-in-chief of Silver Screen and Roll, SB Nation Lakers site. Harrison, how's it going?
You know, honestly, a lot better after listening to that intro, because not only were you so positive, but it also made me realize how lucky I am that I don't live in a place where I ever have to stay up till 10:30 at night to cover a basketball game, because look, I'm washed. I could not do that.
It is no fun. Yeah, but the thing is, when the Lakers play in Indy, I guess you're on the beat full time, so this doesn't affect you as much, but I have a full time job. So like, that's not basketball. So if they played at 4 p.m., I would literally miss half the game.
So see, this is my full-time job. So like, starting at 4 is great, because I get to like, I can like make dinner after the game. It's amazing. Like, especially now that, you know, everything's remote. It's like I can go from the press conference directly to my kitchen, cook dinner. Like, you know, I don't have to opt out of all adult, you know, marital, like just like contributing to the household activities. You know, I can like it's one less game that I have to sacrifice my wife being upset because I didn't take out the trash or do my share of the dishes or whatever, because I can contribute right after the game's over.
Yeah, I'm jealous of that. The Pacers played in India in the preseason last year, and it's like 9 a.m. and I'm just sitting at my desk at work, like shameless Pacers game on the other monitor. I was like, I look like the worst employee ever right now. This is terrible.
No, that's the fun part about the international games too. Is it's like you wake up and there's basketball. Like, who doesn't love that? Like, that's great whenever there's morning games.
They played the Kings, so for the Sacramento people, it's at 6 a.m. I was like, wow, they're getting horrible ratings on these games. Anyway, the Pacers play the Lakers tonight, which is going to be fun. I'm excited to watch the Lakers, who... LeBron against the Pacers in his career, one of his worst opponents, actually, which is interesting. But the zoom out question of this whole game, because I could talk about the Lakers' record and their net ratings and how they're doing right now. But the zoom out question of this whole game, and I think the answer is already set in stone, but I'm not 100% sure, is Anthony Davis going to play? I believe the answer is no, right? He's not ready to.
The answer is no. Yeah, he will not play on Friday against the Pacers. He's going to be reevaluated after that game, at which point we'll probably have, I mean, given how this team handles injuries, we probably won't have that firm of a timeline on when he'll be back. But we will have a better idea than we do right now. The team originally said 4 weeks, which would have meant that he'd miss this game and I believe two more before returning against the Hornets. I think that's like next Thursday or something, but that doesn't really matter for a Pacers audience. But yeah, he was never expected to be ready for this game, and Frank Vogel just confirmed that as we did practice availability with them.
So that makes it, you know, still easy. They've played without him for a while, but less obvious to just run through like they're first in defense. Like, talk about, you know, without Davis, they're different on that end. So I guess that's gonna be my first question about this Lakers team, is what have they had to adjust for, and how have they been different without Davis? And, you know, how have they been able to, you know, I think the record is under 500 without him, right? So like, what struggles have they really had since he's been out of the lineup?
Yeah, so given given his rep and where he's, I think, most known for impacting basketball games, you definitely would have expected it to affect them more on defense. They've actually, I think, just through, you know, duct tape and lineup strategies and whatever, like, they've been able to actually, like, really stay really good on defense for the most part. And that's kind of the only way that they've been able to stay in these games, is by getting stops. They've been like hideous slog fests without Davis. And they're just like trying to grind out stops, get out on the break as much as they can, especially for those first couple games that he was out, because Dennis Schroeder was also out. And they really they lost all four of those games, but the only way that they were able to even stay in some of them was by trying to get stops and get out on the break, because LeBron was the only guy who could create his own shot in the half court without being set up. And so without Davis, it's honestly, in my opinion, and again, like I'm pretty sure the numbers bear this out, I think it's affected them more offensively than it has defensively, just because he is, and some of this is like a little skewed because it was, you know, four games of no Schroeder, and he's really important to the offense as well. But they really missed just having another guy that can kind of like, you know, even if he's not always the most efficient at it, it's somebody that the defense has to pay attention to, either from the mid-range or out behind the arc, because you're never just going to ignore Anthony Davis. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to stay close, somewhat close to him, and they miss that gravity, and they miss just having a guy who, you know, can get a shot over basically any defender that he wants to. And again, like, he's not Kevin Durant as a scorer, but it's a similar just ability to, like, there's no one that's going to stop Anthony Davis from being able to shoot.
Right. Yeah, he's a 6'11" human being who has extremely long arms and can dribble. You cannot stop him from getting where he wants.
Yeah, you could contest it, and he may miss, but you're not going to be able to stop him physically from shooting.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. And we preview every game the Pacers are going to play in a week on a show we do like the first day of the week. And we were looking at the Lakers, and we talked about their defense. They're first in net ratings still, for those who still care about that stuff. First in defensive rating, excuse me. And I looked at some of their
net rating. That cannot possibly be true.
I was looking at some of their games since Davis went out, right? And they had that Heat game, which had to be the ugliest game in the NBA this season. If I look at the score, I probably should watch it.
But not a pretty one.
They only gave up 96, and they only gave up 109 to the Nets. And, you know, they had some other good solid defensive games in this stretch, 105 to Denver. So I think it seems like they're still doing okay, but so offensively is where they've been slowed down. That's surprising to me because they still have LeBron James and Dennis Schroeder and some other okay offensive players.
Yeah, I mean, they were missing Schroeder for four of those games, and then their final game against the Kings, they were missing LeBron, and it was basically, it was Kuz and Dennis Schroeder and Trez trying to beat the Kings, and they almost did it.
I almost laughed when you said those three names.
Yeah, no, LeBron literally took like a PTO day on the final day
of the
season.
Him and Paul George were like, nah.
Yeah, he's like, I mean, I like to assume that he looked at the Sacramento roster, he looked at who was coaching them, and he's like, you guys got this. And then the Lakers almost took care of it anyway. They almost proved him right. So he stayed home and he recorded the All-Star Draft and I think did an interview promoting Space Jam with Variety or something. So like, nice. Yeah, he got good usage out of that time off. It was like literally when Meta World Peace, then Ron Artest, asked the Pacers to take off a couple weeks to promote his album. LeBron literally did that mid-season for like one game and then flew for the All-Star break.
Did you do your local employee takes PTO day bit that you do sometimes for
I think I actually did when he sat out. Yeah, I think I just said local man takes day off from work.
One of your many great Twitter bits. The gets buckets, forget gets buckets thing is my favorite, man. I laugh at like I think every single one.
That was my favorite one that I started during the pandemic because it was like basketball accounts seemed to not know what to do with they're like, well, we have to post something, but there's no basketball. So it was like every day there was a new, like, people forget. And it, like, some of them were like, yeah, people actually forgot that guy was like pretty good at one point. Like there was a John Salmons one yesterday that I couldn't even mock because like for like 2 years, John Salmons was actually a pretty good scorer. And I think people do forget that sometimes. And like, but then there was one where they were like, it was like rookie Michael Jordan could get buckets or something. And it was like, what are we doing? And nobody forgot that rookie Michael Jordan was a bucket. And so I just started mocking them and having fun with it.
What is going on, guys? Let's take one short little break here to talk to you about the great people over at betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, NHL in full swing. You can get in on the Pacers-Lakers action tonight. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV. They got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds that you want to track. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit if you use the promo code LOCKEDON when you sign up. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Remember, that's betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. I love that bit. I think I laugh every single time you do another bit.
I appreciate that.
So the big Lakers question, maybe not the biggest Lakers question, and we'll get to the specifics of this game after this question. LeBron's in MVP discussions. Does he deserve it? Do you feel like he has been the best player in the NBA this year? And will he prove that in a game without Davis? Can he be at that level for this game?
So speaking of Twitter bits, my new one is that I have started after every single game, one of the MVP candidates plays, I tweet out, that's why he's the clear MVP. Like when he has a good stat line, just to embrace the chaos and watch what people do. And and the people who get that it's a bit think it's hilarious. And the people who don't are extremely angry, and it's amazing. But, I think that he deserves to be in the conversation. I don't think that if we were voting today, I think Joel Embiid would win it. And I think that would be deserved. He has had, I think, the best on balance, the best first half of the season. LeBron's candidacy to me, and this isn't entirely his, it's not his fault that Anthony Davis got hurt, but I think that his candidacy did take a little bit of a tumble in when they lost those four games right after AD and Schroeder went out. And that's not entirely fair, because expecting LeBron to carry kind of, just a bunch of role players that can't really do a whole lot other than, they're great at their roles, but it's Wes Matthews is not all of a sudden going to become a backup point guard just because you need him to be. Alex Caruso is a great wheel greaser, but he's a less great primary floor general and guy like that. So they just had a lot of these guys that were being asked to do things that they are not good at on the NBA level. And I don't think that that's entirely LeBron's fault that they could not do that, but fair or not, they started to slip. His numbers started to slip because he all of a sudden was dealing with triple teams instead of double teams, and is 35 years old and or 36 years old and was clearly getting tired. And I think, having to, I think there was a point during that four-game absence where Schroeder and AD was out where he really did seem to pretty obviously take his foot off the gas. And then once Schroeder came back, he turned it back up again, turned it on defense, really kind of, I think, was almost in some ways playing better basketball than he was when he was everybody was saying you were a clown if you didn't vote for him for MVP. But because the team was not as good and because of all that, he is still further down in the discussion, I think deserves to be, just because Embiid has had, I would say, the more flawless campaign so far. I do think that LeBron deserves to be in the conversation. I think that he or Jokic, if Denver starts to turn it around and really go on a run, could get into the conversation here. It feels to me, as someone who kind of covers mostly the Lakers, this is a three-man race at this point. But I guess I'm curious, do you feel am I missing someone? Is there somebody else? Is Domantas Sabonis in the conversation for you?
I won't girl you on the Sabonis stuff. You've taken enough heat on the internet for that.
I was teeing you up.
No, I'm not going to do it. No, I mean, Kawhi had a great case for a while, but now he's missed a lot of games, so I'm not going to throw him in there. I think Harden will get in there. But again, another thing where
that's fair. He seems to be in position where if the Nets play really well down the stretch, he could really get his name in.
But a fourth of the active season, James Harden was actively sabotaging the team he was on and not trying at all. So
it shows you how valuable he is, right?
Yeah, that's true. But no, I mean, the thing about Embiid is funny is him and Jokic and LeBron, honestly, probably aren't that far apart. But the way that MVP debates, this is not Pacers related, I hope my listeners will stick with me for two more minutes. The way the MVP debates have become in this era, you have sects where you have the best player on the best team sect and the narrative sect and the, the on-off.
Oh, sect. Okay, that is not what I heard.
segment or group of people, faction. Let's go with faction. You have the on-off faction. They love on-off stats, and the best player on the best team faction. And, and Embiid is killing it in every single faction this year. Your advanced stats people. His case just looks so good. But
well, the thing about MVP debates is just that whoever you think is the guy, to you, there is no argument for anyone else. Very few people, especially by the time that we get to the end of the season, it gets very tribalistic, and everyone, there are Nuggets fans in my mentions furious whenever I tweet a quote from someone else calling LeBron the MVP. It's not even my take. I just said, I don't think that he's the MVP at this point in the season, but they're how could you not even put Jokic in there? It's not me. I don't know. What do you want me to do? And so it gets so tribalistic. And then by the end of the season, and I don't want to be shake my fist at analytics guys, but it's like you said, they're the guys who are looking at the on-off numbers and they're like, this is the clear number one. And then you have the people who are looking at the narrative, you know, your Derrick Rose voters, and they're like in 2011 and they're like, he deserves to win it because he resuscitated Chicago. And it's just like, you know, everyone is looking at something different, feels like they're looking at the right thing, and then, you know, says that like that's their piece, and there's no and it's like the least productive argument in NBA Twitter history, which is saying something considering the arguments that we sometimes have on NBA Twitter.
That is well said. Now I have to say sect very carefully for the rest
yes,
of the entire
yeah.
time. Okay.
You got to bleep out the first one, I think, just to
don't tell the advertisers. Okay, Pacers Lakers is tonight. Back on topic here. I don't know how much Pacers you've been able to catch this year, Harrison, so I'm going to kind of go general with this question.
not enough, according to Pacers fans.
For those unaware of the context, now that we've brought it up twice, Harrison tweeted something about Sabonis's candidacy is maybe the wrong word, but level of play for an all-star. I won't say what you said. That's all I'll say.
No. I'll say it. Look, I feel like I need to have, and this is a great forum for me to talk to Pacers fans that may have been mad at me and thought I was being ridiculous. Here's what happened. I saw Domantas Sabonis make it. I felt like maybe there were guys that should have made it over him. And then I, without thinking very hard, fired off a tweet, literally just asking. I genuinely, I know I troll sometimes. This was not a troll. I was curious, like, is he the worst two-time All-Star in NBA history? Because, like, a two-time All-Star is not bad. I wasn't saying he's a bad player. I was just wondering, like, how many two-time All-Star, like, he's probably in the lower end of two-time All-Stars, or I thought he may be near the bottom. After looking at a list of two-time All-Stars, I quickly realized I was very wrong and that there were a lot of players far worse than Domantas Sabonis. Number one, who I was not giving enough credit. And number two, just, yeah, I may have overestimated the quality of play in, you know, a couple decades ago in the NBA, or underestimated the bad level of play that could allow you to become a two-time All-Star. So I would like to apologize to Pacers fans.
I wonder who I think
it is. Mea culpa.
No, I don't know. I just looked. I'm looking at the list of two-time All-Stars. Here's a list of players in a row. John Drew, Andre Drummond, Kevin Duckworth, Walter Dukes, Dick Edelman, Sean Elliott. I don't know, besides Drummond, who any of those people are.
There was a guy, Jeff Ruland, who looked like a truck stop driver that I was not cosplaying as an NBA player. I was very wrong, and I would like to take this opportunity to apologize to Pacers fans because, just misinformed.
He is immediately above Sabonis on the list, and you are very accurate about his description. Okay, Pacers Lakers tonight.
I'm sorry for hijacking your podcast. I had to say I was sorry.
I'm having a lot of fun. This is good. What are the Lakers going to struggle with the most that the Pacers do well? That's a very broad question, but you know the Pacers are kind of heavy pick and roll. They have some off-ball movement stuff. They use Sabonis as a hub. They play very aggressive defense. What kind of stuff or player maybe even that the Pacers have or do you think the Lakers will struggle with and that the Pacers can, you know, maybe manufacture points or get a lead?
So this is going to be ironic considering my previous
I wonder
takes.
What you're going to say.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like I honestly feel like without AD, I do wonder who they're going to have kind of take the bulk of that Sabonis assignment and how they're going to fare. Right? Huh?
No Gasol either, right?
No Gasol. He or most likely, I guess, like Frank Vogel would not commit to a timeline, but he is still out. He's been in the health and safety protocol since before the All-Star break, which, you know, you do the math on how many days he's been out. You can kind of maybe jump to some conclusions about what is maybe going on, but I'm not going to do that. And I would guess he was not at practice today on Thursday. I would guess will not play on Friday. And so, yeah, the Lakers, I mean, they may start Damian Jones at center, you know, who is on his second 10-day contract for this game. And because, you know, they just don't really have behind Gasol another center, which is why they keep getting linked to centers on the buyout market. So you're starting maybe Damian Jones. They're probably not going to start Montrezl Harrell because he prefers to come off the bench. He started one game, went to Frank Vogel, said, I prefer to come off the bench. Can I please go back to doing that? And so they're starting a 10-day guy at center. Markieff Morris has been starting at the four. And like Markieff Morris is good in certain matchups. I'm just not sure that this is the right one for him. And, you know, just between that front court, it really just does seem like Sabonis will probably have, I would say, an easier night ahead of him than he's probably used to.
Yeah, I think if I'm recalling correctly, I can't remember the exact date of the game last year. I'm trying to Google the box score because I'm lazy. But Sabonis played well against the Lakers last season.
Was it the game in the bubble? Because I missed that one. I was getting married during it, actually.
No, the bubble game I remember because Goga blocked LeBron, and it was like the coolest moment of the Pacers season. Not really, but still. Anywho. I have my clever joke I almost made when you were talking was, is Damian Jones the worst two-time 10-day contract player ever? But I'm not.
I don't think so.
He's not. He's definitely not.
Yeah, he's definitely not. He actually, he is very good at dunking. I'm not really sure that he's very good at anything else, but we will see. But that is the type of guy that, you know, if LeBron plays, has some utility because he can at least find him as a lob threat. His game where he started, the last one, LeBron sat out. So I am curious to see those guys overlap a little bit more, and maybe that can cause. But the Pacers are pretty good defensively with Miles Turner, and I believe he's playing, right? Like, there's nothing going on with him or whatever.
Well, yeah, let me rephrase that. We'll find out in 30 minutes.
Yeah, who knows, coming back from the All-Star break, who is going to be playing in any game? That was a stupid question. But, you know, like, I feel like they probably are decently well equipped to handle this, but like, that is a threat that they don't normally have with Gasol in the lineup, is at least a lob threat, but it does present different problems on the other end and in other areas.
One more break here to talk about the awesome people over at Built Bar, who we've been talking about for months on this show. Many listeners have tried it and they all love it. The best tasting protein bars on the market. They are amazing, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber, amazing tasting protein bars, 100% covered in chocolate on all bars. They have tons of flavors, and now they're trying to find out which Built Bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness. They have a bracket going on in the first round. Apple Almond Crisp defeated Churro Puff. So now we have the second round begins today with Cookies and Cream versus Apple Almond Crisp. You can go vote at BuiltBar.com or going to @bar_built on Twitter. I am definitely voting for Cookies and Cream there. It is delicious. Remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order of Built Bars. That is code LOCKEDON20, the number 20, to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. So I found the game that I was looking for. The Lakers came in 24-3 and the Pacers won. Sabonis had 26-10. So I do remember this game fondly, but Anthony Davis did not play. JaVale McGee, Jared Dudley was the starting front court combo for the Lakers in this game.
Yeah, you know, I think I missed that game. That must have been it, honestly. Like,
well, I
honestly think I may not have covered that game. Oh, like, I would have to check, but I think I may have missed that game because I just, like, in my brain, I just did not remember Sabonis being all that impressive. And again, that hand up to me, they aren't on national TV a lot. Like, that was my fault for not being aware, but he is very good. I have since done more research. He's good.
To insert my own Pacers knowledge into this, I agree with you that is where I think the Pacers will try to manufacture most of their whatever stuff offensively. I mean, they do anyway. He leads the league or nearly leads the league in touches, and they go through him all the time, but especially he's going to be guarded by, you know, Markieff Morris, Kuzma, Damian Jones, whoever else they put in at the four. I think he can have a good game. He's had some nice games right before the break. He's coming off of a cool experience in the All-Star game and winning the skills challenge.
You're coming off a skills challenge win. He's on fire right now.
He got second the year before. I don't think it propelled him to anything that then, but we'll see. So I agree with you that he can have a good game. Another guy I'm looking at, and I'm going to shout out Alex Regla here, a great Lakers writer who was on the show last year.
My guy.
He's awesome. TJ McConnell, I think, is going to have a nice game in this one. Lakers have a solid bench depth, but you know, with some guys out, it's less solid, but he just, against teams like the Lakers, the way they defend, where they try to keep guys out of the middle a lot, McConnell's energy and just like, I'm getting my feet in the damn lane no matter what you do defensively, just annoys those teams a lot. And Alex Regla pointed this out to me last year. He said McConnell always kills the Lakers. And I was like, well, a lot of teams think that. But to be fair, he does do better against the Lakers than a lot of
I swear every backup point guard kills the Lakers. It's the weirdest thing. There's like all these. And again, I'm not going to start another feud with Pacers Twitter here. Like, I'm not saying anything bad about McConnell. It's just like, it feels like for whatever reason, they always let backup point guards go off.
McConnell's one of those guys that every team is like, oh, he only kills our team. You know what I mean? Like JJ Barea was the same way. Everyone's like, oh, JJ Barea always is good against us and no one else. I'm like, well, I don't know about that. But McConnell, to the credit of Alex and you here, McConnell does do particularly well against the Lakers. So this is actually a conversation that has merit. But
I'm excited to see him and Alex Caruso, just the Spider-Man pointing meme, like guarding each other on defense.
One time Dellavedova and McConnell were guarding each other, and I was like, this is how you have the Big Bang that starts the universe.
Grittiest matchups in NBA history.
Yeah. So I think he'll have a good game. Not that the Lakers bench is weak or anything. They have actually good second unit defenders. Caruso, Matthews, when he is with the second unit.
Yeah, Matthews, not so much this year.
Really?
Yeah, Matthews has been rough. Lakers fans are ready to cut Matthews. And like,
Matthews had a great Pacers stint, so I am surprised that he's that low on the totem pole.
Yeah,
I think with him, it's just all the shot, right? He either shoots 6 for 8 from three or like 1 for 5. Is he still like that?
That's true, but he's had a lot more of the 1 for 8s, and okay. He's looking like, you know, maybe not ready to come off the grill. Like the grill is like smoking a little bit. Like it's he's a little cooked, and we'll see if he can turn it around. Yeah, we'll see if he could turn it around, but it's been rough to watch, and it sucks because I really like him. I've enjoyed every interaction that I've had with him, but it's been rough to watch.
I just pulled up his game log to see if he's still the same way with the inconsistent 3-point shooting. Here's his first 5 games of the season. I'm sure you already know this, but this is funny.
Yes.
0 for 2, 0 for 2, 0 for 2, 0 for 2, 6 for 6. I was like, great,
yeah, okay.
Exactly how I remember Wesley Matthews when he was.
No, exactly. I think I wrote like after the 6 for 6 game, I was like, look, this is just a weird. This is law of averages. This is how this works sometimes. And it turned out it was not, or at least the average is pulling down a little.
Yeah, it's just how he is. It's the weirdest thing. He's so streaky, it's ridiculous. So McConnell's the other guy I look at for the Pacers to, you know, make the Lakers defense move. Their defense is awesome, but you know, they also, I mean, I don't think anyone, oh no, Miles Turner was in the Vogel era, so they kind of have some familiarity with the stuff.
I did not realize that they overlapped. That must have been what, like the last year?
His rookie, it was hit Miles' rookie season and Vogel's last season in Indy.
Okay.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I'm going to double check that, so I don't get roasted on the internet, but I'm almost positive. Yes. Okay. I was correct. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
Larry Bird was still
George.
The executive.
Yeah. Director. Okay.
Yeah. The golden days, not really, but still. Yeah, Vogel was great. on the flip side of that question, what matchups do you think the Lakers will try to attack often to try to, you know, make the Pacers uncomfortable or manufacture their own points?
Yeah, this is not like something that is going to be breaking news to anyone, you know, who watches Pacers games or is like a Pacers fan, but it's LeBron. Like, he's going to be the main guy that they try to go through. And, you know, provided that like Dennis Schroeder is good to go for tomorrow as well. He hasn't been on the injury report, but again, I just feel like I have to add that caveat because coming back from the All-Star break, if it's not LeBron, Kuzma, or Alex Caruso, who all three spoke to us at practice today, I have no idea who's going to be available for tomorrow's game or, you know, whatever. I just know that Mark and AD are out. But, you know, provided that Schroeder is good to go and he's good to play, then I would anticipate a lot of going through him as well, just because those are the two main shot creators that the Lakers have right now. And their offense is like really, really predicated on those two guys just trying to kind of break a defense down, you know, either through pick and roll or through isolation or, you know, in LeBron's case, sometimes post-ups. And you know, Montrezl Harrell is going to do, you know, he's going to do the same stuff that he was doing with the Clippers last year. Going to try to eat off the bench, really bring some energy when he comes into the game. But like, those are, I would say, as far as scoring threats, like the three main guys to look out for, because they're going to be probably, I would guess, the Lakers' three leading scorers tomorrow.
Kuzma could have been a Pacer if the Paul George to the Lakers trade that was reported happened a few ways.
Yeah, I mean, look, Kuzma could have been on a lot of teams over the last couple of years. You know, I will say that. Like, there's been a lot of destinations where Kyle Kuzma could have ended up.
I remember after that draft being like, well, what was that? I forget what the exact package was. It's like the Pacers could have like Julius Randle, Kyle Kuzma, and something else for salary for Paul George. And everyone was like, no. And now you look back and it doesn't matter at all. But it's funny in retrospect how that stuff works out. The way the Pacers defend this year, Bjorkgren calls it disruptive and aggressive. And he's right, it is. But guys like LeBron or key ball handlers, they just did this with Jokic and Embiid. They did it with Doncic. Guys who are really heavy lead ball handlers, they just rush them, like blitz all the time, double team, make them pass, try to make other guys beat them, try to make that guy make mistakes. Sometimes it works. Against Jokic, their game plan was really good. They outscored the Nuggets when Jokic was in the game. They still lost, but they did good against Jokic. They did terrible against Embiid. They did terrible against Doncic. So I think that's what they'll try to do with LeBron, and it's dangerous because he just sees everything. He's really tall.
Yeah. So I was going to say good luck.
He is unwavering with his defensive mentality. He really.
Yeah. And hey, look, there's something to be said for sticking to your guns and just being like, this is the only way we have a shot. We can try and do this conventionally and it's not going to work. So why not try the weird thing and see if it throws them off? But LeBron is so smart at picking apart defenses that he's going to throw it to either a guy with a wide open shot or the guy that is going to move the ball to the next guy that will have a wide open shot. And, you know, the Lakers have been a spotty 3-point shooting team this year. I believe over the last 15 games, they've been last in the league. I would have to double check that, but that didn't change with the Sacramento game. But that was the case the last time I looked at it. And like, it's been really rough. And I think some of that is regression to the mean. They were shooting insanely hot to start the year. But I also think some of it is with AD out, even though it started before then, it's gotten worse. And I think with AD out, it's been tougher to generate the gravity necessary to free up as open of 3-point looks for those shooters. And, you know, KCP has been in a slump. He seems to be in his head a little bit. He's passing up open threes. And so, like, you know, that plan may work tomorrow, but it's not going to be because LeBron didn't know where to put the ball.
Yeah. So again, the caveat that comes with this question is it's the first game after the All-Star break. So legitimately, any result would not surprise me. Like, anything could happen in this game. But who do you think wins? What kind of intensity are you feeling like the Lakers are going to come out with in this game? Do you think they, I mean, I think they're on paper better, but, you know, with Davis out, this could go a number of ways. Who do you think wins this game?
I think the Lakers are going to win because it did seem like, listening to LeBron today, that he is rested up after the All-Star break. He was talking about wanting to shift into,
because he
didn't say playoff mode.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he did not say playoff mode. I was waiting for it, you know, that he was going to activate playoff mode. But no, he said that in the second half of the season, he gets into third, fourth, and fifth gear. And so I would imagine that we will start to see some ramp up in his, you know, bicycle gear of basketball intensity tomorrow. And, you know, that, like, you know, I think that the Lakers are going to want to come out and start the second half of the season strong. And I know that this is cliche, but this team really has kind of gone with their effort this year. Like, they're so talented that they've been able to win a lot of games where they haven't really tried particularly hard for more than one quarter at a time. But without AD, their margin for error is obviously a lot slimmer. And I would anticipate that they come out and kind of play with their hair on fire. And it will be hilarious if the Pacers win by 40 and the Lakers do the exact opposite of this.
Yeah, the Pacers start the break with, or come out of the break with, Lakers, Suns, Nuggets, Nets. And amazingly, I think the Lakers are their most likely win of that stretch, just because it's the first game back and a lot of, well, I guess the Nuggets.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I think that's fair. Like, because especially the Nets may have KD back. Like, by that point, I don't think he's been ruled out that far in advance yet. And so, yeah.
Yeah, and it's in Denver in third and fourth nights. Like, just don't even play the game.
No, yeah, Denver, like a road game in Denver, you almost have to chalk up as a loss.
Pack
like
it that's, up. Yep. So this is their most winnable game. I agree with you that I think the Lakers are definitely more likely to win. If you made me pick a team, I would pick the Lakers. So I guess I'll just say I picked the Lakers to win. But Stephen A. Smith style. But I get that without AD, what you're saying is absolutely true, that they have had, you know, the 3-point struggles. They're down to 24th in the league in 3-point percentage. And just with these games coming back like this, you never really know. And I think the Lakers or the Pacers do have some matchups that they can go to that can help them in this game. I think Edmund Sumner is finally going to be in the rotation, playing a healthy amount, making this game go faster than the Lakers maybe want to. But I think that the team with LeBron James is always a safe bet to pick to win, especially when he is in fifth gear. Man, I wish I could cover him with these corny answers. I would love that.
No, honestly, he kills me sometimes with some of the stuff he says. It's hilarious. Like, he just has these, like, these analogies that he makes where you can tell that no one's ever told him that he's made a bad analogy in his life. And so, like, it's just like the corniest dad stuff. And I kind of love it. Like, I used to think it was cornier and like not like it before he was on the Lakers, but like being around it day to day, like you think it's manufactured, but it's not. He's just genuinely that corny. And like, it's honestly the most honest look into kind of how LeBron acts that I think that we get, because so many of his other answers or message that he wants to say and whatever, and there's a lot of thought into it. It's like the corny dad jokes are like our one window into like real LeBron, or him, like how he actually thinks about this stuff.
And that'd be like, the Pacers don't have like a goofy answer. Goga does sometimes, but he doesn't play enough that we get him in media a lot. But like last year he grew out a beard. He was like, yeah, I grew this out for the ladies. And like, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, I don't get that kind of answers.
That was like the time that Jordan Clarkson said that he was playing well because his DMs had dried up. And so the ladies didn't like you when you're not playing well.
Yeah. I want a player like that I get to talk to every day. The Pacers also have a lot of fast talkers, which I think you, as another media person who transcribes quotes, can relate to as the worst players in the NBA are fast talkers. So they, I just need a
No. Actually, I don't mind the fast talkers. The ones that bother me are the, I'm going to shift which point I'm making mid answer. And it's like, they're just complete stream of consciousness, train of thought. And you like, you think it's insightful while you're listening and you transcribe it. And then you're like, that made absolutely no sense.
You didn't even use this. You know, yeah.
Yeah, like Danny Green was the king of those. And I mean this with all due respect to Danny Green. I felt like he was very honest, but it's like sometimes he would sidetrack himself, forget where he was going, and then sidetrack himself again mid-answer. And yeah, it was not a joy to transcribe.
Justin Holiday, best answers on the team, probably, you know, really thoughtful, a vet. You know, I love talking to him, but he talks so fast that I just like, I feel bad for my girlfriend because I'm sitting next to her and I'm just like dragging back, listen again. I'm sorry.
I got to show you the transcribing tool I use. This will change your life, I promise you.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad I had you on this podcast. If it means anything else, then I get a chance. I got nothing else today. I think this is going to be fun. I'm just glad that basketball's back. Honestly, it's been a weird week and the All-Star game was not fulfilling for anyone. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it was nice. Honestly, for me, it was nice to get a break because we've been like, you know, doing this for basically 2 years straight now because of the pandemic and because they won the title and all that. So I needed the break. I was not going as crazy without basketball as it sounds like you were, but I am glad. Like, I'm getting to the point now where like today I was waking up and I'm like, is there a game? No, there's not a game today. Like, but it was kind of starting to feel like game day. I was ready for a game tonight. So like, yeah, I'm ready for it to be back at this point. Like, I'm excited for the second half of the season. And I'm sure halfway through, I, like the Lakers, will hit a lull and get exhausted, but you know, like it'll kick back into gear and be fun again by the playoffs.
I think we're all like that. Harrison, we've talked about many of your Twitter bits. Where can people follow you and all your stuff?
So you can find me on Twitter at HMFagan, where you can yell at me for, you know, like my Sabonis takes or, you know, whatever else that you want to do, or find my, you know, you forgot this guy was a bucket tweets.
They are fantastic. I forget which one actually made me like actively laugh out loud for the first time, but now every time.
I think my favorite one that I've sent was, there was like a bird like knocking a basketball around, and I said people forget Larry Bird was a bucket. Or there was one of like this guy, this like redhead in overalls, like shooting on a farm, and I said people forget Brian Scalabrine was a bucket.
Oh man! Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that. Coming right for people's hearts. You know, Larry Bird jokes don't really fly in this state, so that one probably didn't land well with my people, but that's okay.
Wait, really? No, well, that's not making fun of him. It's just I mean, it was a bird.
When I Google, when I Twitter search HM Fagan bucket, the one that blew up the most was Mrs. Naismith, but that's a good one too.
Oh, yeah, that one was funny.
You guys, just follow Harrison. You can follow this podcast at Locked On Pacers, me at T East NBA. This game should be fun. Let me know what you think if the Pacers could take down the Lakers. We'll cover this game, Suns game, come Monday. Talk Nuggets then. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you on Monday.